Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
Next time, just buy a necklace and hand it to me. It's much better than the dream of the thing you were going to do that was going to be so great.
What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood.
Mom, nobody wants a homemade Halloween costume. I'm just going to put a pillowcase over my head. Like, leave me alone, right?
With Margaret Apples
and Amy Wilson.
Look at them being joyful while I'm just working here.
A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas
so you don't have to.
So it's about finding that thing. You're the best present giver in the world.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood. You can already hear laughing going on in the face of motherhood. This is Margaret.
And this is Amy. And the reason we're laughing is that today we are here with Molly Lloyd and Blair Brooks, hosts of the new podcast on Sticking Out with Blair and Molly. Many of our listeners might remember Molly and Blair from their previous podcast co-hosting job, Toddler Purgatory. We're so excited that Molly and Blair are back with their new show. Just a little bit about Unsticking It. In each episode, Molly and Blair delve into the world of overcoming your creative blocks with practical strategies, skilled insights, and inspiring stories to help you find your way back to you. That's what we're going to talk about today. Welcome, Molly and Blair.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. It feels like coming home, like a homecoming.
Here we are, face to face. That's the Silver Spoon soundtrack.
Yes.
The Oldie Lock Alert, if you didn't recognize it.
Back in my day.
So let's talk a little bit about the origin story. Like any great Marvel villain, you have an origin story for your podcast, Unsticking It. How did you come to find the theme of Unsticking It? Take it away, Blair.
Oh, all right then. So Molly and I, this was during the pandemic. What wasn't during the pandemic?
It was all during the pandemic.
We're still in a pandemic. But Molly and I, if our listeners don't know, we're both actors and mothers and all the things that come with that. And we were finding ourselves being fulfilled in ways, but not in other ways. And just kind of like chasing our tails and trying to figure out what was missing and what we realized was it was our creativity. It was like back to our like home base, like now it's a theme. And we said, okay, what can we talk about to not only help our listeners, but really just help ourselves? And how do we feel right now? And the overlying thing was we feel stuck. We are stuck in the rut of motherhood and all the things that are coming with that. And then our industry turned from we're going into the city to auditions every day face to face to self tapes. And it turned into we're sending our creativity into an oblivion and into a vacuum and no one knows what's happening.
And it was so isolating too. Yeah.
So isolating. We just felt just stuck. So we're like, let's talk about being stuck and how to get back to our creativity, back to ourselves, back to the thing that alivens us. That's not just self-tapes and making dinner and lunch and breakfast.
Self-tapes and making dinner, the story of a life.
Even when you're not an actor, I think everyone listening can relate to this feeling a little bit stuck in that things didn't really go back to the way they were, right? There was the before times, then there was this giant sort of fire line, right? And nothing was the same on the other side. But I find myself, I mean, the pandemic was 4 years ago that it started. And I still don't really go to like exercise classes in person anymore. Like I do them, but they're on the internet. Meetings that used to could easily be in person are on Zoom. And I'm stuck at home all the time and I don't see anybody. And I'm just now realizing like, I got to get out of my house. I got to make up reasons to go see people, even though I'm on meetings and Zooms and podcast recordings all day long. Something's missing. So is it about getting intentional about putting some of that stuff back?
Okay. Well, guys, that was our episode. Hope you enjoyed it. And our work here is done.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you. That's it. Thank you.
I feel like we've had quite a few interviews so far and there's a couple of themes that have rung true for so many people, but in different ways, because everybody's journey is different. Every human being is different, obviously. But there are a couple of things that have risen to the surface. The cream of the crop, it rises to the top. And it is that you have to, first of all, take a minute or two or a week or a month, and you have to get still and silent, because we also have, like you were saying, Amy, you're on Zoom or on the computer for hours. That's a lot of brain stuff. That's a lot of stimulus. It's a lot of lights. It's a lot of information. And it's hard to get quiet with ourselves. So in quite a few of our interviews, we've heard, take a minute and get away from the computer, get away from your children, get away from the demands of life as we live it now. Our very first episode was with Robin Ivy, a coach out of Rhode Island, and she goes into her
like
tree.
Like an actual tree?
Literal tree.
Does she have a tree house or she just climbs up into a tree?
Oh, I believe she climbs up into a tree.
She didn't explain it to me, but in my head, I imagined like she had like a little platform that was like,
I want a tree.
Draped in like tapestries and like bells and candles. Don't burn the tree down.
I have an actual tree house at my house, but I never thought about going up into it. But maybe I'm going to start.
Go up in there, get still. Claim it. I don't know if it's your kids or it used to be your kids, but it's yours now.
Well, I tell you, it was built for my kids. But when it was first built, my husband and I would go up on Fridays and have a cocktail because it's really just a platform. It's not like a house. And it's an awesome spot. We really need to get back to that. I need to get back in the tree.
For sure. Whatever. And maybe that's a metaphor.
It might be. Or it might not be, Molly. Even more disturbingly, it might not be a metaphor at all.
Find your tree.
But we all have to find our tree.
Yeah.
That's really that. That's the end of the episode right there. Find your tree.
So I have a follow-up question about the tree. Are you going up in the tree, you know, whatever your tree is, find your tree, hashtag find your tree. And then when you get there, because then you'll suddenly be unblocked, or is it like, oh, now I know what I'm going to write about, or is it you're just going in the tree to do nothing? Like, is it nothing first, or is it silence to get better ideas?
I think it can be any. What would you say, Blair? What was your takeaways from? Because really, it's the theme that we've heard from. Also, Joe Schappa, I think, said it, and maybe another person or two, is like, there's so much noise. So whatever that is for you, it's your calm center. It's going back to zero. And that opens up your mind and your ability to let the ideas come, to feel like more like yourself and remember what the heck you're doing here on earth, right? Because I don't know about you guys, but I hamster wheel it every day, all day. And I just need to stop. Like, I need to find my tree.
I definitely remember Amy talking about a story that Lin-Manuel Miranda was, who has a famous hamster wheel kind of a mind, I think, as writing kind of self autobiographically in Hamilton about that kind of mind, that he was like searching for his next musical after In the Heights. And then he finally, his wife kind of convinced him to go on vacation. And on the beach, he picked up the Hamilton book and the musical kind of came to him. And you talk about Amy, J.K. Rowling being on the train, right? That she got on a train. She didn't have her phone. She didn't have anything. She just stared out the window of the train. And this idea came to her about like a wizard boy going to a special school. I think it's the stillness that allows stuff in.
No, yeah.
The stillness that allows for that, but it's still worth doing even if you don't get the $1 million idea. Like, I think if you go up into the tree, like, where's that idea? I'm silent. Where is it?
Yeah, it's the idea is like go in to clear out and to not put any pressure on or any expectations on that. I'm here to get the idea. I'm here to get the inspiration. It's more like, let me just clear all the noise out, all the stuff out so that I'm inviting the idea in to come whenever it may.
Yeah. I find I do the little comedy bits for our show, which basically, I mean, Hamilton and Harry Potter and the comedy bits, I think we're all recognizing that they exist on the same plane, right? Of genius. Let's be clear. But I do find after years of trying to sit down at the desk and think, okay, what am I going to write about? And let me write it out, that what I now, my practice with them is that I ask Amy the night before, what's our episode about? Because I never know. And then I leave it for 12 hours and I walk and I go to pick up and I do other things. And at some point during that time, usually something will come to me like, oh, this is a funny part of that theme that I could do. And that it's much more productive than sitting down with like a blank piece of paper and a pen and, okay, what? Let me think up something.
Putting that pressure. Yeah, that's basically what this is doing, is creating that space. It stops the hamster wheel in your brain. And then the second thing that has floated to the surface for me of many things is then you can just do the thing, whatever the thing is. And again, like we're talking about, this podcast, Unsticking It, is not just for actors. It's not just for creatives. It's about going back to your creativity in whatever you do in life. Bring creativity to your accountant job. Bring creativity to being a surgeon. It's like problem solving creativity and that kind of thing. And in fact, actual creativity, you know, like Kristen Wiig making the cupcake in Bridesmaids. She just needed to get back to the thing that used to light her up, right? Maybe it's not cupcakes anymore, but for her it was. I'm not telling our listeners to make a cupcake, but do it if you want.
But could it hurt? Let's be honest. Could it hurt?
Never hurts.
I have never heard anyone be like, I really regret making that cupcake. That phrase has never been said in this modern American language. I shouldn't have made that cupcake.
But it's not about like adding something, right? It's not like what you really need is a cupcake practice and then you'll be fulfilled. It's about finding that thing you always liked.
Or even a tree, right? I mean, yeah, what you really need is to climb into a tree every day at 5 o'clock.
If you don't have a tree, forget it.
This isn't for you. This is only for people with tree houses, this podcast.
Yeah. Amy, you're out of luck.
The whatever that thing is. And I think it's about finding that spark again. It's just about finding your creative spark again. And we try to provide tools. We steal so many ideas from our friends and we'll do it again. We'll do it again and again because they are smart and we are trying to get out of this rut we're in. And so we're providing tools for any person's tool belt of feeling, getting back to yourself, but knowing that, you know, what we've discovered is that we're never going back to who we were before, right? This is like one of those times, these last 4 years, where who we were before is somewhat gone. So we have to like, this is not life anymore.
Right. Need times, not apply.
Before
yeah.
times. So like in this new times that we're living in, staying in the now and applying the lessons we've learned to how we are living our lives now, and that we're adding tools to your tool belt to live your most creative self in the world we live in now, in the here and now.
I think the idea of creativity can feel very foreign to people. And as you were saying, you're not trying to talk to only actors, only writers, only painters who are going to go up into the tree and then come down with the next great masterpiece of our time. So I want to dial in a little bit more on what creativity looks like. And we'll do that right after this break. We're talking to Molly and Blair from Unsticking It. We'll be right back.
Margaret, exciting news. I am about to have a new baby nephew. And believe it or not, this will be my 13th nephew.
Amy, you're ready to give up your amateur status. You're a pro aunt at this
yes.
point.
Our family has seen a lot of babies. And as soon as they start standing or walking, I send them all a whole lot of Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 don't have ordinary diaper tabs. Instead, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your newly mobile little one.
Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, crucial once your baby is quite literally up and at 'em. And that gap-free fit helps prevent your baby from taking off their diaper, a habit you do not want them to get into.
You can say that again. And Pampers Cruisers 360 just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we even elaborate on the need for that, friends? For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value.
More and more, you hear about the importance of electrolytes as part of staying hydrated, because you need the sodium and the potassium, not just the water. And whether you're looking to hydrate during a workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing and without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. They're little packets you can just grab and take with you to mix into your water bottle on the go. My favorite flavor so far, Amy, gotta be the cherry pomegranate.
Interesting. My high schooler likes the lemon lime, and she keeps a few handy in her backpack for days that she has practice after school. These electrolytes have the sodium and the potassium that you need to go with it in the optimal ratio for daily hydration.
Visit sportsresearch.com and use code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's Sports Research, SportsResearch, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate electrolytes order.
So I guess the starting question is everyone creative? Are there people who can live without creativity? Like, do we need creativity? Or is it, as Amy was maybe hinting at, just another thing on the list? Now I'm supposed to be creative on top of getting through my day? This sounds terrible to me.
The thing that kept coming up for Molly and I when we first started was like, okay, we're going to talk to actors. We're going to talk to the people that do the thing, that do the artist. And then as we talk to people that weren't necessarily that, we've learned that we are born creative. Just look at your kids.
We meaning humans, not we meaning Molly and Blair.
Well, yes. But
I mean, you guys got a little extra in the sauce, let's be fair and clear.
Humans as a whole. Yeah. I mean, look at your kids. Like, when they're making up stories, when they're drawing things, when they're playing with things that aren't toys, or, you know, when they're outside making, you know, the things that come into our heads as babies, as toddlers, as kids, it's all of our creativity. And then what happens is that we grow up and then we get designated by school, by family, by friends as to who we are. And then we just end up into these stereotypes or into these roles.
And certainly by jobs, right? Like, you are not creative. You are an accountant. We keep picking on accountants.
And just because you're good at math in school, then all of a sudden that's what you should focus on, right? But what we're learning is that our creativity is almost kind of like taught or fought out of us. So the idea is just to kind of reconnect to that. And it's all a part, like, again, like going back to getting still and doing all the things to get back to that, because it never gone, and it is easily tapped into because it's energy. And it is also like, it's a secular thing. It's always going on, right? That's why we watch movies. That's why we listen to podcasts and music. Like, it's creativity is a constant around us. So we just have to get still to get back to what it is inside of us that makes us creative.
Yeah. It makes me think of, like, Margaret and I know a woman who wraps her presents at Christmas time with dried oranges and cinnamon sticks, right, and twine, and like, they're works of art. Or another friend who gets up on Sunday and says, I don't think I'm going to braise a lamb shank tonight, and like, spends all day on Sunday thinking about that cooking. These are two people who made me feel bad about myself for a time that I wasn't wrapping my presents or braising lamb shanks. But now I kind of understand it as, oh, that feeds them. I don't really care what my presents look like. And I definitely want dinner on the table in the fewest steps possible. But I am a creative in other ways, right? They don't need to pick up a pen and try to write something. That doesn't feed them. So it's about finding your, like, I guess, finding that thing. You're the best present giver in the world.
And it feels like it dovetails with, like, finding joy in a very fundamental way. That, like, joy and creativity seem to be on the same line. And that we've often said on the podcast, it's okay to have one thing. Like, I find my one thing for years was birthday cakes. I made extremely elaborate, like, every Toy Story character arranged. The bed was made of fondant, Andy's bed. They were all sitting on the bed. Like, that was my thing. My mom's thing, unbelievably elaborate Halloween costumes. I had a Statue of Liberty with hand-dyed green, bed sheets that she dyed green. Pulled up the picture and copied exactly what it says on her book and covered, construction paper covered the book. That was her thing. But she, would just as happily, wrap presents in a bag and throw them under the tree. That wasn't her thing. And I think it's interesting. Something else that I heard an echo of that I haven't really thought about that Amy was talking about is I do think sometimes we're like intimidated by other people's creativity and joy, and we want to kind of like shoot an arrow at it or make it stop or laugh at it. Like, I don't know what, like, what is that human instinct to be like, you go to Renaissance fairs? What kind of freak are you? And it's like, well, maybe that's that person's joy and creativity. But why do we, what is that instinct we have to like poop all over someone's joy?
Yeah. With, are we threatened by it because we are always comparing and despairing?
Well, it feels like, right, like, look at them being joyful. Well, I'm just working here. I don't know.
I think that's right. And when you're a mother, often sometimes that creative thing becomes your kids in ways that maybe are sometimes not so healthy, but sometimes very healthy. Like when my daughter was young enough that I could dress her in whatever I wanted, like she was my American Girl doll, like putting her in adorable outfits was my jam. I loved it.
And or, let me say, as the benefit of her hand-me-downs, we're now
right.
My daughter, who is 5 years younger than Amy's daughter, is just living her best life right now. When those garbage bags full of stuff come from Amy's house, we're like, it's on.
It was so fun. Now my daughter's outfits are her own creative outlet. And of course, I need not apply for that position because it's been filled by her. But, you know, I had fun with, or I'm thinking like, you can get over involved and say like your kid's science fair project or whatever, or, but like kids' Halloween costumes, it is a way for moms to be creative. And then it's another probably thing we lose when they get older and like, mom, nobody wants a homemade Halloween costume. I'm just going to put a pillowcase over my head. Like, leave me alone. Right. And be cool. Right.
Be cool.
You should see Blair's table settings for her kids' birthdays.
Oh, tell us about them.
Listen, cooking and being like creative for birthday parties, that's my jam. That's my jam. I love that stuff. Yeah.
That's your joy. It is an outlet for your creativity.
I also think it's the competitiveness that is inherent in motherhood, which is sort of unfortunate, makes me show up at Blair's daughter's birthday party and think like,
she thinks she's so cool.
Look at her making a fancy table. I just put paper. She thinks she's so great. And that's some part of myself that's feeling that Blair's birthday table is all about me somehow. It's a personal attack, frankly, on me and my parenting.
Right. It's funny you say that because there were like a couple of moms. And this is the thing too. Whenever I do these parties, I keep the parents in mind. So I always make sure that there's like equally like a cool setting for the parents, right? Or I have themed cocktails for the party for the parents, right?
People are grumbling about this.
Well, and here's the thing. There was a couple of the parents that were there. They were like, oh, going all out. Huh? And I would make it a point. I'd say, this is my joy. This is my jam. I totally get when you don't wanna and when you don't have the energy or the creativity or the time. I get that. I make the time because this fills me. And I made sure because I could feel that it was coming at me. Right? It's like, oh, it's like, let's not do that. Go grab yourself a cocktail.
Doesn't she just thinks she's something. That was me, by the way. I mean, I wasn't actually invited to Blair's child's birthday party, but I crashed.
I do think that's one of the things that comes out of getting still with yourself, because you have to find your joy. In some ways, you know, we could talk about social media from now until the end of time, but like on the one side, the devil on your shoulder is the compare and despair. And then the angel on your shoulder is the support that you find as well. So like Blair and I were just saying this 10 minutes ago before we got online with you guys, was this quote by Jordan Peele where he said, when you're creating something, it's just shoveling sand into the sandbox. You're going to make it into a sandcastle later. He's talking about writing something. So when you first start writing, that first draft is just sand in the sandbox. You'll make it into a castle. And for instance, that's just a for instance for me where I was like, yes, I never would have thought of that. That metaphor works for me. It might not work for somebody else. So like not only on the social media side of things, you can like block out the voices that say, how dare you make that?
Cowgirl.
Cowboy. What'd you say? Cowboy lemonade? I don't know what it is. Cowgirl lemonade. Is it because it comes in a glass in the shape of a boot, or is it a
cowgirl lemonade? Actually, it's a cowgirl birthday party.
Is it a thing?
Amy's joy is creating imaginary birthday parties in her head that no one else understands.
I was thinking it was lemonade, you know, in quotes, with a wink handed over to the parents. And then there's another one for the kids. This is my imaginary cowgirl birthday party I've been creating in my head.
I love it. I'd go to that party.
My daughter, when she was 5, so that's what she wanted, a cowgirl birthday party. So I had one, but most of my stuff was outsourced from Etsy, and I did not have a bespoke cocktail for the grown-ups. I wish I could go back. Sorry, everybody. Right, in my next life.
So if you're having a hard time siphoning out, is that the right word? Like a colander, the good stuff, let the good stuff through of social media and stop the crap. If you're having a hard time stopping the crap, get quiet. Shut it off. Obviously, we all know the virtues of shutting off our electronics, etc. But like, that's about getting still with yourself in your platform treehouse.
Yeah, I think also the sandbox metaphor is super useful in terms of creativity, because there's a lot of bravery that's inherent in creativity that I think that we sort of forget about, and that sometimes we find that it's like, well, I want to write the best novel ever and win every prize and have it be the greatest thing ever, or I don't want to do it at all. And that the idea of like, what if you're just throwing sand for the next couple of months and into the sandbox? And then we're not even thinking about sandcastle. That the end sometimes is the enemy of starting. You know, that my old writing mentor once uses the expression a lot, perfect is the enemy of done. And it's like the idea that like at a certain point with drafts, I'd be like, I don't know, this draft could, he's like, it may not be perfect, but it is done. And done is better than perfect sometimes. And yeah, that I think sometimes my husband suffers from this and we laugh all the time because he'll show up with like no birthday present for me because he wanted to hire, you know, paratroopers to dive out in the shape of my name and deliver me, you know, this thing that I want. It's like, next time, just buy a necklace and hand it to me. It's much better than the dream of the thing you were going to do that was going to be so great.
But don't let you find the necklace a couple of days before and then you open the box and it's a CD.
You bought the necklace.
That's a Love Actually reference.
I missed it entirely.
He bought the necklace for the girlfriend instead of her.
You say necklace and I immediately go to Love Actually. Well, there's this Emma Thompson found it in his pocket and was so excited. And then on the day, on Christmas Day, she gets a box the exact same size. And it's a Joni Mitchell double CD set. And then she goes into the bedroom and has the most devastating scene because she has to keep her devastating. She has to keep her, you know what, together because it's Christmas and the kids are there. She goes in and she puts on the I'm getting goosebumps. She puts on the CD and it's a Joni Mitchell CD, the saddest thing you've ever heard. And as she's standing there trying to hold herself together, she looks down and she smooths the bedspread with one hand because she has no control over everything else, anything else in her life in that moment. So she has to control the bedspread. She's like, I better smooth this. And then she goes out there and she goes, yay, Christmas, or some BS.
I know it's not a good movie, but I haven't even seen it. I just know that that happens. It's just one of those, like, I have the plot in my DNA.
It's actually not a great movie.
We're talking to Blair and Molly from Unsticking It. When we get back, let's talk about having permission to go bigger with our creativity. Margaret, it's an exciting news day.
An exciting news day indeed, Amy.
A few years ago, we launched our first spinoff podcast, Toddler Purgatory, hosted by the hilarious Blair Brooks and Molly Lloyd.
And guess what? Now Blair and Molly are back with their all-new podcast, Unsticking It.
You know Blair and Molly as two busy moms and actors, and somewhere between potty training and the pandemic, they both felt like they lost their creative kaboom.
In their new podcast, Unsticking It, they are going to talk about how all of us can get back to what lights us up after motherhood. Amy, I need this.
Me too. And Blair and Molly will be talking to fellow imaginative minds. We're talking actors, artists, and creators of all kinds about how we can all unstick ourselves from whatever muck we're stuck in.
Follow, subscribe, and listen to Unsticking It wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.
So here's my question about being a mom and having this creative outlet, which I agree we should have, and I agree it doesn't have to be the same as somebody else's or big or important or whatever. But I think sometimes as moms, we think that, like, I love sewing. I love making these jackets. I'm actually really good at it. But if my Etsy store doesn't sell 20 by November 1st, then I have to stop doing it because it's not worth how much time it's taking me, right? If it's not making money, then I need to stop doing it because I really should be being everybody's, you know, caregiver instead. How do you, if somebody came to you, say, like, with that, like, well, I want to do this, but it's not working and I can't take this time away from my family unless it's financially supporting us. How do you sort of retract that so you don't just sort of give up and become an uncreative person?
I would say, unless you absolutely have to, don't do it for the money. If it's a financial situation that you're in and you need to provide for your family, go do something that's not going to suck your soul, right? Or do something that will suck your soul. But leave the creativity for saving your soul. And I mean, I would also say, like, for Molly and I, another part of our journey has been we enjoy working together so much. And we not only do the podcast together, we've shot commercials together, but we started writing a movie together and we got 70 pages and then we got stuck. So I think it's also finding your community, finding the people that call to your soul, that feed your soul and give you permission to just do the thing that you love, because the yes to it is what will lead to maybe financial gain, maybe to a dope Etsy shop. But I think that just start from yes and just do the thing first, just to get that feeling, especially as a mother, because I know on a Friday night at 7:30, I am done, depleted. There's no creativity. There's nothing, right? So the more time that I can save, or the things that I can do to save towards my creativity, is what I'm holding on to so that I can produce.
And also piggybacking on Blair's point, we had got this concept from one of our guests named Betsy Capes, who runs Capes Coaching, which is a coaching company. She has this concept of daily vitamins. I call them bite-sized chunks, but like, what can you do every day rather than putting all your eggs in the Etsy basket, for that example, for instance? But like, maybe right now in this season of your life, that isn't sustainable. So take a minute, get silent, get in your tree, and figure out what is. And it's your daily vitamin, that little thing that's going to keep you going as a human being and as a creative person, which every human being is. And so what's your daily vitamin? What's the thing that's going to work that muscle? Because creativity is also a muscle. And to Blair's point earlier about life prioritizes the other muscles. You're good at math. Everyone's like, well, guess you're going to be a mathematician, right? And then suddenly,
finance, here we come.
Yeah, here we come, finance. I never got that call. Missed that call.
Me neither.
But then your creative muscle has maybe not been worked in a while. Your motherhood muscle has. You're keeping your family alive has. Your survival the last 4 years or more has. That muscle's pretty strong. So now give yourself the space and the grace to say, I think this other muscle needs a little something every day. And maybe that concept of the daily vitamin might work for you. Again, just another tool on your tool belt. It might not work for everybody.
I think the idea of creativity without a goal is something that is really interesting to me. On Christmas morning, I opened my presents for my husband and I got a paint by number of the Starry, Starry Night, the Van Gogh. And he's like, do you remember you mentioned this to me? Because God bless him, I think I just said something mean about it. But he's very good at, like, oh, whenever I mention anything, he writes it down in like his phone, like a little spy. So I'm going to say like 7 months before.
Okay.
I had been looking at Instagram and I'm like, oh, this looks kind of fun, doesn't it? Like, you paint by numbers and you make a painting. And I opened it on Christmas morning and I was like, this dude, like, when am I going to have time to paint Starry Night by Van Gogh? This idiot, why was he listening to me? You know, Meanwhile,
all that blue.
I'm going to say 3 months ago, I opened the box and I'm like, whatever. It was during football. We were watching, like, getting ready for the Super Bowl, the playoff games. I'm like, I'll paint my Starry Night. I loved it. I work creatively all day, every day. Like, I don't actually need a creative output, but I'm realizing, like, oh, a lot of my creativity is on a deadline and it's for work and I got to get this handed in and I got to think creatively about this. And here I am painting Starry Night by Van Gogh and I loved it. And guess what? It's terrible. No one's buying it from me. I keep making a joke. I'm like, should we sneak this into the museum and swap it out? Because, I mean, it looks, you know, like a very bad version of Starry Night. Nobody wants it. Like, I'm going to throw it out literally when I'm done with it. I don't even want to hang it on the wall. It's not good. But there was something about doing something creative for no reason at all. I could not believe how satisfying it was. It was a lovely revelation.
I think that part is missing sometimes. Like, you can take a jewelry making class and it doesn't mean you have to become a jewelry designer now, right?
Right. You don't need a side hustle in making Van Gogh knockoffs, as it turns out.
Or you can write a screenplay with your friend and maybe you finish it and maybe you get stuck halfway, but it was fun to do it. Like, the creativity is worth it. And you're making me think, Margaret, that you need that side thing, which I don't really have. Like, I spent a lot of my life being creative for sure, but I don't like do, I don't know, cross stitching for the hell of it. You know, it's that for the hell of it thing that I'm thinking maybe I should add to my life in this sort of bite sized way.
Well, what do you like to do? Like, before, I don't know, the responsibilities of motherhood came into play, what are some things that, little tiny joys that you like to do?
Well, the perfectly frustrating thing of acting. I love performing. I love being on stage. And, you know, like, acting is like this one art form where you have to wait for somebody to give you permission to do it. But the one thing that comes to mind that I keep thinking I'm going to do and I don't do is join a chorus for the hell of it. Not to get a recording deal, just because I like to sing. And doing that, it's a perfect example. You don't get anything out of it and nobody's going to sign me up and it doesn't even matter. I can sing okay and you just do it to do it. So I'm inspired.
And it's interesting because we talk about it with kids, but I do think with kids that we are much freer with kids to say, you should take guitar lessons. Oh, you should take a dance class, a ballet class. Not because I want you to be a ballerina. In fact, please don't become a ballerina. I beg you. But, like, I do think that we see much more, they're teaching, I haven't been able to work it out yet, but they teach in my town at the town theater tap class for adults. I'm like, I would love to do that. Like, just go and tap dance one night a week. Am I getting cast in Anything Goes on Broadway next season? Highly doubtful. But, I mean, I used to tap dance and there's something really fun. There's something so fun about tap dancing. I mean, but I do think that as especially moms, we think of, well, I can bake because my family eats it and I could express myself with birthday parties because people come to it. But doing something with no purpose seems so indulgent as a mother,
yeah.
I think.
Especially when it's like your only hour off, so to speak. Like, sometimes I struggle with that. I'm like, well, I have an hour. So, well, first I'll pick up groceries. I'm just going to bang that out. And then all of a sudden I'm down to a half an hour. That's not me time. That's family time, buying groceries or, you know, even getting ready for a party, even though there's a creative aspect to it. And I think that's about, we have an episode called Reclaiming Your Time. And it is, that's one of the main messages of it is, yeah, you got to be brave enough to speak up for the time that you need. To go to a crochet class when you've never crocheted. Like, part of that is bravery and also prioritizing yourself.
And not because you're going to make everybody a blanket, because you have to be useful in order to exist. Yeah, 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 absolutely. I think that's really important. And we were just talking about, like, mom blame on one of our episodes. And I had a very, like, radicalizing experience about, oh, we do put all this stuff on ourselves. But also a lot of people put stuff on us. Like, you, it's your fault. You don't do enough. You this, you that. The kid did this. The mom must stink. And part of fighting back against that kind of culture is to say, I deserve on a Sunday to sit around and paint Starry Night by Van Gogh by numbers and do nothing for anyone else. Is it making money? No. Is it helping my children? No. Is it self-actualizing me? Probably not even. But
yeah, I got to say, you're probably adding years to your life. I really do think that.
I hope so. Do I hope so? Let's see. Some days I hope so. Some days I hope not.
It's an energy thing, for sure. It's an energy thing. And then also, like, why is it that we pour so much energy into having our kids explore all different types of things? Granted, yes, to keep them busy and out the house. But, like, we evolve and we change, too. Why can't we give that to ourselves? Why can't we give ourselves the opportunity to delve into different creative things or sports or, so, you know what I mean? Like different classes. And on that note too, there's so many things now that you can just like order online, like the crocheting, cross stitching. There's so many things that you can order online and then take a virtual class. You get all the tools and cake decorating, all the things. There's so many things that are so possible to explore. That if you have, if someone is listening right now and they have that thing, that little ding inside of them that's saying, oh, I want to do it. Just do it. Just do the thing. Just do it. No one's clocking you, but you. You heard it. Ding, ding. There it is.
Bring it, sing, sing.
And if you're somebody who says, I don't feel good enough or brave enough, or I feel so isolated. This, man, I know we said isolating earlier, but like as being actors, but boy, can there be times in motherhood where you feel isolated? What a great way to find a community of at least creatively like-minded people by going to that crochet circle, because you all are interested in crochet. It's so social and community. Again, talking about adding years to your life, you know, finding your community, for finding a community, creativity is such a beautiful binder. It's such a beautiful bonder. You know, it really brings people together and, you know, knitting circles since the beginning of time, right? Like making something together, doing something together. Boy, does that feel good. And you feel so fulfilled. Fill yourself, because sometimes it can feel empty, this life we live. Well, do it.
Yes, please do. Amy, you should go to like a local church or something. And
I'm like, I can't wait to go sign up for a chorus. I'm going to do it.
Look at that.
I have a list. I've been keeping a list, and then it, you know, it lives on my list of things to do, but the, you know, the tax forms jump the line, right? And that's just how it goes. And that's how our lives are, but you have to prioritize it. Guys, it ain't bad. I'm telling you what.
100%.
Am I,
Margaret?
Am I in Amsterdam right now looking at Starry Night?
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's awesome.
See, do a painting and someday you can show it off on a podcast where no one can see it. It's perfect.
Yes.
Yeah. Like you're like, hey guys, on the podcast, look at my painting.
That like that woman it's who started. Fixed the Jesus in the church in Spain.
You know? I'll put a picture on Facebook.
Nobody will be able to tell.
Yeah, put a picture. Yeah.
Talk about pointless creativity.
Oh, it's good. Maybe you can link a photo because it is good. It's good. I think you're right to hit upon the thing of like, you're not doing it to sell it. Well, you could sell that. It's very good. But you're not doing it to sell it on, you know, at an art fair. You're doing it because it fills your soul. And there's also this scared, where we all get scared about failure, right? I just read something recently. I can't remember if I told you this, Blair, about someone who wrote, you know, what is our obsession with failed blank? Like if you have a restaurant and it does well or doesn't do well, and you decide to move on and you close that restaurant, everyone goes, oh, they were a failed restaurateur. Like, are they? Or do they just decide to move on to their next thing they're interested in? If you have a marriage and it went pretty well for a while and then it ends, maybe it wasn't a failed marriage. Maybe it was a pretty successful marriage. That's the end of it. Its time had come.
I think that's very American too. I dated a gentleman from a foreign land for many years, and he was always talking about only Americans think that a silver medal is a failure. Like you medaled in, you know, a sport that took you 100 years to learn, and people are like, bronze, what a loser.
It's too bad about that, isn't it? Yeah. It's too bad that person had an incredibly successful career. But yeah, it's like, you try it. Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're a little too obsessed with failure. Like, let's all fail spectacularly because it meant we tried something.
So Molly and Blair's new podcast is called Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. I'll put the link in the show notes so you can start listening like immediately after this, and you can find it wherever you listen to podcasts. What else should I tell them, Blair and Molly, our listeners, about what you're up to?
Unsticking it_it_podcast
on Instagram. Molly is currently in a State Farm commercial that's running with Ludacris.
Oh, yeah. Well, didn't it play during the Super Bowl?
Oh, it didn't play during the Super Bowl, but I think it played right after.
That's cool.
I think it played,
I saw it Super Bowl Sunday. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty funny. Yeah. It's pretty funny. Yeah.
We're so glad you're back podcasting again, Blair and Molly. We missed you.
Yeah. Thank you. It's good to be back.
We're loving it. Thank you for being such a, I don't know, great, not just role models and friends, but also like so supportive of other women in your same realm is really awesome. So thanks.
Thanks. It's fun. It lights us up.
Well, friends, check out Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, make sure for all of our sakes, even with What Fresh Hell, that you are subscribing, following all of these podcasts so that they will always be appearing in your feed. And with that, Blair and Molly, thank you so much for talking to us today. What a fun conversation.
Thanks.
I wish we could
us.
Do this every morning.
I know. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.